Hello to you, our lovely audience for Art Scene here on 99.3 County FM. Thank you for tuning in to the Voice of the County. I'm Sarah Moran, your co-host for today. And in case you're wondering, I'm recording this right at the music camp, at Music at Port Milford. We are over the bay here where schooners were built, and listening in to people practicing and learning in the drive shed and barns. And we're honoring the vision and hard work happening with young musicians here at Music at Port Milford. It's a unique music camp down in South Bay. And this Art Scene show, we're actually celebrating their 40th anniversary. Meg Hill is the managing director and co-founder of this music camp. And Charlotte Hill is the assistant director and Meg's daughter. And Charlotte's here to talk to us, with some help from students, alumni, and faculty, about Music at Port Milford. Hello, Charlotte.
Hi.
Welcome to Art Scene, and it's a pleasure to have you chatting about Music at Port Milford. For people who might know what it is, could you just describe in a nutshell what Music at Port Milford is?
Yeah, it's a big umbrella of things. We often refer to it as a summer chamber music academy and festival, which in of itself is kind of a mouthful. But on campus here, we have two different residential sessions for preteens and then teenagers to study chamber music, like string quartets and piano trios, with mentors that live here. Then we also have a concert series where those mentors are often performing and touring string quartets. So they play in town at St. Mary Magdalene every week. And then we also run a choral day camp for 1 week that just happened last week. There are often also just other community events.
How did you find yourself here, like in the far reaches of Prince Edward County during this?
Sure. My great-grandparents lived in Wapoose in the 80s, they were downsizing, and my mom and grandmother were looking for a place to gather their violin students. They wanted to have some sort of summer gathering, make some music, and my understanding is that my grandma kind of stumbled upon this waterfront property and just felt that there was something magical about it.
And where did the vision for the music camp come from? What were the hopes for it?
My mom and my grandmother had pretty robust teaching studios and had always loved playing music with other people. Grandparents were in this big network of people that would haul each other up to sight read chamber music. That was like what they did for fun. So there was this desire to create a home for their students to discover how fun that is, because it's not something that can usually happen during the year for teenagers. Life just is too busy, and it kind of requires a lot of infrastructure to set up kids in perfect little groups. And the main driving force was wanting to share that love of chamber music and share that educational vision. And honestly, I don't quite know if they pictured how much of a thing it would be 40 years later, right? I think it was sort of an experiment, bringing friends together, bringing a cello teaching friend along for the ride, and my dad was the lifeguard and boys counselor. Grandma was cooking and teaching the choir, and it started small. Now it's turned into something that's really recognized internationally, which is kind of amazing.
And why do you keep putting your heart and soul into it year after year?
Oh man, it's an obvious yes, so sometimes it's hard to say why. It's my favorite thing. But I was a camper here I snuck in a little bit young. I was from age 11 until 18, and then I immediately started working here. Those are just my fondest memories. I just became so close with people by making music and like overcoming these challenges of playing things that were a little bit too hard for us and figuring it out and being in this beautiful space. So then seeing the next generation of students.
Let's take a pause and listen in to the sounds of the camp. First, we'll hear some students working on their music with teachers. And then we'll hear Callum MacDonald, who was a student here and now a counselor. And then Madeline, who is a faculty member and teacher here.
episode.
And now I'm chatting to Callum MacDonald. Hello, Callum.
Hello.
You grew up in South Bay. You were a student at the camp.
I was, yes, yeah. For a couple of years, 2018 right. and 2019.
Now you're back as a counselor.
Been back since 2022, so this is my fifth year.
What instrument do you play?
I play piano.
And were you studying that here at the camp then?
Yes, it was really a level up for me, and it really pushed me to kind of elevate my playing. And I remember in 2018 when I first got to the camp, 2 weeks after the camp, I could never really feel comfortable playing with other people. And then I sat down with my dad to play something, and it was just like, oh, I have this new kind of superpower I didn't know I had, you know. So, and I've kind of had that and harnessed that ever since, and now I can sit and play with my friends or play with the other counselors like we were playing earlier this morning. It's a real joy. So this place brings that kind of talent or drive or joy of playing with others, really brings it out.
Do you see changes here since then?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I feel like the through line of what MPM is still there. And it's almost like the only thing that's there that's still just so present within everyone that comes here.
How would you describe the through line?
I mean, it is difficult, I think. It's something you really feel in your heart. I don't know, there's a certain quality of always returning home. The love of music is always here, so I think that's what really keeps it not just alive, but like there's the same presence that's always here.
So now I'm speaking with Madeline Hildebrand. You're a faculty member, a teacher, a mentor.
That's all of the above, yes, and also a performer. One of the highlights for me of music at Port Milford is not only teaching these incredible, curious, and warm students, but also meeting new faculty, new professional musicians from across the U.S. and Canada, and getting to make new friends and play with new people. It's always a thrill.
You said you'd be here 3 times. Why do you choose to return?
I choose to return because the spirit here is like no other. Also, the camp is geared towards students in a bit of a younger developmental age. So the senior session is age 13 to 19. There are quite a few music festivals around Canada that are for post-secondary students. I'm always so touched by their introspective ideas. Very inspiring to know how deeply the younger generation is thinking. It's beautiful.
What do you most hope that students will take away from their time with you here?
I hope that they will start to deeply listen to what's around them. And I don't mean that only from a musical standpoint, but when you are playing chamber music with beautiful loons, as we listen to the loons. When you're playing chamber music with friends, you are finding a consensus. You are making decisions and letting the music guide the best course forward. And that might mean that you're not always getting your way and finding the path forward as a cohesive unit is a beautiful idea, especially for, you know, this 13 to 19 year old demographic. So that's one of the most beautiful things that I hope these students will keep in mind as they move forward into all different areas of their life. You know, it's all about relationships and community, isn't it? So listening to each other and listening to what's around you.
And now let's go back to Charlotte. So how does it feel to be part of and what is really an intergenerational journey? So your grandmother, your mother, mm-hmm. and you to make the camp what it is today.
Yeah, so it's definitely a point of great pride and love in my family that we have kept this tradition alive. I actually never knew my grandmother who started it, which is kind of odd, and I do feel extremely connected to her because of this. She was clearly a huge personality, matriarch of this big family, and a lot of people in the county were very close with her, and that was a lot
was
of
that
how
Doris?
It was Doris. Yeah. And so I think that was sort of the foundation that allowed Port Milford to really happen in the beginning was that there was a community of people that knew her quite well and thought this was a cool idea. And those were the first board members and the first people creatively figuring out how we could house the teachers and helping to make it happen. But it is really fun and at times challenging that it's such a family project. My mom and I are on the phone every day of the year talking about something about Port Milford without fail. There's some planning or problem solving or thinking about what happens next 365 days of the year, or the days that we're not here.
Well, you must have got better at working out those challenges over time, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah. And I mean, I've learned so much from my mom because she's now been, this is her 40th summer doing it. And she has kind of this magic touch with a lot of aspects of it, of figuring out the interpersonal dynamics and figuring out the perfect staffing teams. Figuring out, you know, there are always wrinkles, always unexpected things happen, right? Whether it's, oh man, a student is sick right before camp and we had planned that they were going to play all this challenging music, you know, how do we reshuffle everything? Or that staff member can no longer come and, oh dear, everyone here has a really crucial role. So she's kind of a magically graceful problem solver. So it's been very fun to be her mentee in that way.
And it must just be a huge job just working out a curriculum every year.
Yeah, it has. It's been very refined over the years. It has turned into a bit of a science. I mean, there's always flexibility with who the students are, but over the years, the daily schedule has been tweaked by the minute. You know, it used to be that orchestra was in the evening, and then we realized everyone was a little too tired and hot. Now orchestra's in the morning. Or this age group, we used to think it would be fine if they played 2-string quartets. And actually, invariably, they got a little overwhelmed. So we know what kind of music to give them now and what part of the week people should have lessons. So there's a formula that then we adapt depending on the group of kids each
year.
Yeah,
sounds a bit more like a pattern.
Sure. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Noticing patterns. Yeah, they really reveal themselves. And even though the kids change every year and there are different generations, of course, this generation has dealt with the pandemic and has a lot of things to deal with, right? A very, very anxious generation of teenagers, I think, across the board. But they're still teenagers that love classical music. So in a way, it feels the same as when I was 12 and I was here.
So do you have any kind of special moments or special stories of through that time that you think characterize what it's like?
Wow. Of when I was a student or just in general?
Whenever.
Wow. It is, there are so many moments that just stick with you very strongly. I since we're sitting down by the waterfront, I do think of some of our more camp-like traditions because we do have this beautiful waterfront and a fire pit down here. And at the end of every session, whenever a group of students is leaving, we have a campfire with everyone who's been here down here. And we all have a moment to talk, and whoever we happen to be sitting next to, we share what we appreciate about them. That's been a tradition for a few decades. And there's a certain continuity because on the first day we introduce whoever we happen to be sitting next to. So now it's what we appreciate about them. And then I believe this has been going on since before I was born. We build little rafts, like very small, maybe. Yeah, just handheld little floating rafts out of twigs and flowers. And we send them off into the bay and everyone writes down a wish, either for themselves or the world, and we send them off. And there are these, I think that's part of the continuity that Callum was talking about. There's this sense of being a part of a bigger tradition that people can kind of slip into when they're new here. They feel like something, a part of something that really special has been going on for a while.
That sounds like magic. Yeah.
It's very magical, and we always sing whatever psalms everyone's been learning that week as we send off the boats.
I think I want to be here.
Yeah, we should come.
Well, where do your thoughts go for the next 40 years?
That's a very good question. There's a lot of excitement. This year, we organized a large, it's ongoing, but a large capital fundraising project that a lot of alumni throughout the years have donated to. So before camp, also with help from the Huff Family Fund, we were able to renovate our wash houses, which doesn't sound very glamorous, but is a very big deal. One of the 10-year-olds told me that the showers were very nice. That was very, very exciting for me. And to build some new practice cabins that fit full string quartets that are a little bit further out on our property. So having the space for everyone to be comfortable is definitely like a shorter term goal, you know, to make sure that people have space to work and play and, yeah, be comfortable. But looking forward, I think there's always a desire to share this place with more people. Like, there is a certain charm to it being like the best kept secret of the classical music world or something. But at the same time, I want people to know about it, right? I want it to be shared with more people. The staff and my mom and I, we really pour all of ourselves into the month that it's operating each summer. So it's a little hard to picture it running longer. Maybe one day, if alumni were involved in other programming or having more programs for adults. That's what I picture, getting more people on this campus to experience it.
That sounds very generous.
Yeah, yes, I hope that can happen.
Well, you and Meg are obviously the heartbeat of this place, and it's a huge task to do what you're doing. So just wanted to thank you and letting us share your 40th anniversary.
Oh,
so happy anniversary to you and to Meg, and with gratitude to everyone who helps make this happen.
Absolutely.
Donors, volunteers, staff, faculty, supporters, sponsors. Like, it takes a multitude of people.
It really does, yeah, to hold it up. And our incredible board of volunteers work throughout the year doing all of the nitty-gritty stuff that someone might not know needs to happen. But very much does, you know, need to pay our taxes, need to figure out our budget, need to make sure the infrastructure is all in good shape. We don't do it.
Thank you very much for stepping away and doing the interview. You've been listening to Charlotte Hill, who's the assistant director here at Music at Port Milford. With her passion and her mother's passion and the enthusiasm of students and faculty and alumni, we've been celebrating the 40th anniversary of Music at Port Milford. If you'd like to find out more, you can go to the website musicatportmilford.org. That's musicatportmilford.org. And you can also donate if you want to support the development of musicians and community. Next Friday, tune in to hear Caitlin Thornton chatting with Julia Howell and Karen Vallahora about a new series of artist profiles. Art Scene is here every week on 99.3 County FM, co-hosted by Caitlin Thornton, Cheryl Singer, Marianne Farrell, Pamela Mayhew, and me, Sarah Moran. If you've a story idea you think listeners might enjoy, just let us know at artscene993countyfm.ca. Thanks for listening in to Art Scene on the Voice of the County.